Bobby Is Going Home is an infamous game for the Atari 2600. Created by a small Taiwanese game company named Bit Corporation, the same people responsible for Mr. Postman and several other unique Atari 2600 games, it's bizarre yet compelling. This game is so notorious, even a pop punk song was written about it. But the question is it worse than the supposed worst game ever, E.T. the Extraterrestrial? Today we put it to the test. E.T. the Extraterrestrial for the Atari 2600 might not be the best game ever made, but it has a cool title screen, and it offers a complete, albeit short, challenge to be completed. While there are some unfortunate choices, it's mostly bug-free. However, E.T. the Extraterrestrial has been called the worst game ever made, and we just don't believe it. We are here to collect evidence to see exactly where E.T. falls on the bad game spectrum. In this series, we will test other notorious games from the Golden Age and see how they stack up in comparison. This is Into the Vertical Blanks. Worse than E.T.? Bobby Is Going Home. Gameplay. Unlike E.T., this is a game that I never owned in the Golden Age, so I have come to this review putting myself in the place of a 13-year-old kid who has picked this game up in the bargain bin at KB Toy and Hobby for $5. Would I have liked it? Would I have made fun of it? I'm sure when I brought it home in 1983, I would not have read the instructions first, but I would have read the back of the box. So let's do that. Back copy is from the Taiwan Cooper version. I found this box on AtariAge.com. Here's what it says. Bobby thinks that the world is so beautiful. He feels his life perfect. But this day, as he going home, he meets many strange troubles. At the start of the game, Bobby has 5 lives. Total has 256 scenes of the game. Bobby must pass through 7 scenes. Scoring. At the start of the game, you have 3,000 points. When you passed through one scene, you get 1,000 points. If Bobby failed, try again, plus 1,000 points too. But failed 5 times, the game is over. The scores will count down to 0, so please don't hesitate. One game, one player. Now let's try the game we're speaking of. Gameplay starts immediately upon load of the cartridge. Your job is to control Bobby and get him home by moving left and right and jumping over obstacles. What I first noticed was the elaborate backgrounds. Whomever programmed this game realized the strengths of the 2600 right away. They used the ability for VCS programmers to alter sprites and colors on every scan line to their advantage. Most of the screen is not used for the actual game, it is used as window dressing to support the idea that we are helping Bobby move through the world to get home. Mountains, sailboats, trains, birds, houses are just a few of the things you'll see as you guide Bobby. While they are blocky, they are no less remarkable, especially for the Atari 2600. The other remarkable thing about Bobby's Going Home is the gameplay. While there were other platform style games before Bobby's Going Home, like Pitfall and Donkey Kong, both of those games did not allow the player to adjust their position while jumping. You were allowed to adjust your position in Smurf Rescue, but you also jumped using the up of the joystick, which makes the game infinitely harder to play. Bobby has an almost perfect jumping design. It uses the joystick button, but allows you to adjust in the air. It might not be the first game to do this, but it certainly precursed the way jumping would be implemented in games in the second half of the 80s. Instructions. Bobby Is Going Home. Leaping, leaping, and leaping. Always happy, cheerful, in little Bobby colored world. Let not the rolling stones and naughty pawns bother you. Keep away from those troublesome birds and chickens. Let not the butterfly and the ugly but annoy you. Even that extremely tricky bridge can't stop you. Why not walk along the riverside to enjoy the green field and blue sky? In the song of joy, we shall help little Bobby go home. Progressing. The game is going on by 256 screens. Little Bobby must walk through 7 scenes before he arrives home. Here are the hindrances in Bobby's way. Scene 1, rock, broken bridge. Scene 2, ponds, hawk, fountain. Scene 3, pacing, chickens, butterfly. Scene 4, rosebush, ugly hat, tricky holes. Scene 5, magic bridge, fence. Scene 6, traps, spring of water. Scene 7, rolling stones, hawk. These hindrances will appear at random with various colors in different scenes. Scene 8, little Bobby arrives home. After the lovely song Home Sweet Home for him, little Bobby starts his journey again. Scoring. At the start, you own 3,000 points, which will be added as follows while you progress through the game. Walk through a scene, 1,000 points. Bobby fails and starts again, 1,000 points for encouragement. In case Bobby failed 5 times, the game would be over. Yet, on the way, don't be hesitate for long. The points is decreasing progressively by 10 points per second. And that's pretty much the instructions. This game has inspired impassioned comments from people who played it and loved it. My favorite is this one from Atari Mania. Moody, 7-6-2012. Man, could you believe that? It was 21 years ago in the early 90s when me and my brother were playing it as a reward from Daddy when we'd done our elementary school homework and got good marks. Suddenly one night the cartridge burned during a play and never again we saw this gem. Now I feel like crying while seeing this here, how much we've grown up and how much. Really kind of sad. Another response from Banana's Rotten Game Reviews. Bobby's Vault can best be described as floaty, as opposed to quick and direct. This mechanic, combined with the ability to manipulate the right and left direction of your jump in midair, allows for better maneuvering over and away from oncoming enemies. I would compare this maneuverability to Pitfall, though Harry's leaps allow for much less time for decision making, though it makes a little getting used to. Changing direction on the fly proves to be essential and really works well within the structure of the game. Then there is this song from Flanders 72, a pop punk song about this game. The quest. One nice thing about Bobby is that there's an end state of sorts. First, you must traverse 7 screens. Now, here I wrote down what I believe the objects are as opposed to what is in the instructions. On screen 1, you must jump a teapot and a stationary pit. On screen 2, you must evade 2 pits, a bird, and a teapot. On screen 3, you must evade a bird, 2 moving black objects. I can't tell what they are. On screen 4, you must evade a teapot, 2 pits, and a bird. On screen 5, you must evade a closing pit and something, maybe a squirrel. On screen 6, you must evade a maybe squirrel, 3 pits, and a bird. On screen 7, you must evade 3 moving black objects and a bird. On screen 8, you get Bobby home. All the while, the colors and backgrounds change, making the game feel like it has real depth. The crazy thing is, when you restart on screen 1 after getting Bobby home, it's different from the original screen 1. This is where the 256 screens come in, mentioned in the back of the box and in the instructions. The game mixes up all elements to provide a game that does not repeat often. It basically uses the polynomial sequence concept pioneered by David Crane and Pitfall to create 256 different screens. Bobby is Going Home is quite remarkable. It offers an interesting and varied challenge that in many ways is years ahead of almost any other game in terms of gameplay of the future. It's also really hard and unforgiving. I would also be remiss to not mention the music, which is quite good for a 2600 game and is another precursor to games of the future. It plays as a soundtrack during the gameplay. I was able to complete one level of the game and I felt very satisfied. Would I replay it though? If I bought it in 1983, would I have been satisfied? I believe the answer is yes. However, the real question, is it better than E.T.? In this case, the answer is a resounding yes. It is quite better. It goes on a chart position as better than E.T. We are now 1-1, better and worse than E.T. Let's see what comes next.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.